Good evening. It's good to see all of you out, and hope you stayed warm this afternoon. Now, tomorrow's forecast to be in the mid-80s, 85, and sunny, and so we have something to look forward to there. Be praying for Bob and Maud, of course, but also be praying for Charles Randles. He was admitted to the hospital, I believe, was it Thursday? And I had told you Wednesday night that he had a sore on his foot. And that it was a sore on his toe, and it had spread to his foot, but it had spread all the way up his leg too. And so they decided, well, it's time to take him to the ER. And so they have him on an IV, you know, trying to get that better. But I went to see him yesterday. He was rather confused, and so they had, you know, they have like a net around him so he can't get out of bed, you know, because of course he has Parkinson's, and so sometimes he gets confused, especially probably with the IV going into him. And so be praying for Charlie. He's kind of having a rough time of it here lately. That's right, Methodist. He's in Yonkers 806. Yonkers 806. So be praying for Charlie, and if you have an opportunity to go and see him, you know, he'll probably be there, you know, tomorrow yet, and maybe Tuesday. So I'll be praying for him. Otherwise, I think that's all of the announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we can get into our song service. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Do thank you for your many blessings each and every day. And even as we saw this morning, we thank you for your word, how powerful it is, how it changes our lives. So I pray even as we sing songs of praise, as we look again into your word, I pray that you'd use it to conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we do thank you for the fellowship we have here, brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to encourage one another and pray for one another. And even do pray for Charlie now. Help him to get better soon. Pray for his wife, Karen. And thank you for Bob and Maud, too. I pray that you'd help them in a special way. And so many others, too, that we could pray for. But I thank you that you love us, that you answer prayer. Help us to trust in you. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, let's stand together and sing 460. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
sinfulness, I often want to think to myself, why aren't I happy? Why aren't things going well? And if I really, when I finally sit down and think about it, it wasn't because God wasn't faithful, it was because I wasn't faithful. And then I turn to God again and I find His faithfulness anew again. So let's turn to number 47. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Turn any pages because we're going to sing 46. And I'm going to just suggest this right now, and you can think about it. I know we don't have a microphone, so we're probably going to have to just speak up. But if you have a passage of scripture, this is going to be a little different than anything I think we've done, at least since I've been here. If you have a passage of scripture that's blessed you recently, you have on your mind, think of that and find it in your Bible, and then after we sing this song, just have it ready and just read the passage of Scripture. Nothing else. Just read the passage of Scripture. Alright, so you're going to be thinking about that and finding that while we sing 46. God leads us along in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. Does anybody have a scripture? Eva?
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Anybody else right off the bat? Elizabeth?
Stand up and listen of Nehemiah 9:5-6. Stand up and bless the Lord, your God, forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all, the host of heaven worships you.
Anybody else right now? Joy?
Proverbs 3:4-5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take.
Anybody else? We'll give you more opportunities after this song, but first let's sing 56, Day by Day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials. 56. Anybody else with a scripture passage? Nobody else read their Bible this week?
Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Mm-hmm. Great prayer. Anybody else before we move on to what will probably be our second last song? Anybody else? Well, just keep thinking since we'll probably have one more break. Actually, if you got one on your head, we need a favorite quickly. I know I'm asking you to think two things now. Was that Elizabeth?
I was wondering, a favorite verse or a favorite song?
Yes. Either will do.
How about John 3:16? You know, the love of the world is paid on God and Son. Whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life.
And if you know Jesus, that blesses you every day, whether you think about it or not. Nobody has a favorite song just right on the tip of their tongues? Not even Joy?
We just sang mine.
Oh, well then. Well, why don't we sing number 4? I know we sing this one a lot, but because it's a good one. Number 4. Did somebody find one already, finally? Something, what's going on? All right, number 4. Verses before we move on to 494. Right over here.
Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, 17. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new.
Amen. Ron, do you have one?
No, I just got under question, so.
Oh. Well, what was it?
It's
going to
be 425.
425. It was, huh? Well, we could probably, you know, sneak it in. Might as well. Pastor preached long today, so he needs to preach short tonight. Stand together and sing Like a River Glorious, 494. I don't mean to make light of pastor's preaching. We are very thankful for it, no matter how short or long it is.
Thank you.
tonight and the blessing of singing.
Amen. I failed to mention at the beginning of the service, we do have a fellowship after the service, just an impromptu fellowship. All the food has been provided. And so if you want to come on down and have a good time of fellowship and food, you're invited to come. And so keep that in mind. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your showers of blessing that we encounter every day. Do pray even as we look into your word. I pray that you'd use it. Pray that we'd be encouraged by it. Pray that we'd have a desire every day to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Life. It's filled with all types of experiences. There's good times, and there's hard times. There's times of joy, times of sorrow. And there's what we oftentimes call the mountaintop experiences. And there's also what we also call the valley experiences. And sometimes it seems like life is a roller coaster. And, you know, I don't personally like roller coasters that well. But I know some of you do. And you know what a roller coaster is. If you go on a good roller coaster, what's it going to do? It's going to go up and it's going to go down and it's going to go really fast, right? And so sometimes it seems like life is a roller coaster. And it may seem like things are going nice and smoothly for a while, maybe for quite a long time. And then what happens all of a sudden? You know, it can happen in an instant. Things can go downhill, if that's what you want to call it. It can go downhill all of a sudden. Things can change in a moment's notice. One minute, the sun is shining brightly. And the next minute, the dark clouds of sorrow and despair can move in. It might be a phone call that you get, okay, saying that perhaps you've lost a loved one, or a loved one has become ill. Perhaps it's a conflict at home, or at work, or at church. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost your house, whether through foreclosure, or maybe it burned down. Maybe it was flooded. Maybe there's some other disaster, or some other calamity that has befallen you, or your family, or your friends. And so how do you respond during times like this? What do you say? What do you do? Where do you turn? And it may seem like things are just hopeless during these hard times of life. It may seem like life is just too much to bear, especially if you have hardship upon hardship upon hardship. And you may ask yourself, well, what's going on? What's God trying to do in my life? How can I handle this? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? And truly, we do wonder sometimes, especially when we're in the midst of it, whenever we have hardship upon hardship. And you know what? If we could plan our lives, we wouldn't plan it the way that it turns out, would we? Oftentimes, you know, we do have that roller coaster experience. If we could plan our lives, it'd be nice smooth sailing all the way, right? But yet God knows what is best. He's in control. He loves us. He has a reason for doing what He does. And truly, as we think about this, and as we're gathered together this evening, when we go through those hard times of life, we aren't in this alone, are we? Truly, we realize God is with us all the time, but even we have fellowship as believers. That's why we have gathered together as a church, to support one another and encourage one another. That's one of the reasons, anyway, to have that fellowship. And there's so many others that can identify with what you are going through, even at this present time. And we can help one another, and we can encourage and pray for one another. There's so many hymns that we sing that speak right along these same lines. What we should do during those hard times of life. What our response should be. We sing many times, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." You may have it memorized. It's a good old hymn. And what does it say? "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Another hymn that we've sang many times, "I must tell Jesus What does it say? I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves me and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. And then the chorus goes, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. And then just one more hymn we want to look at. He giveth more grace. This is a precious hymn, truly. He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions He addeth His mercy, to multiplied trials His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. And then the chorus, His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Isn't that precious? We serve a great God, a God who cares about us, a God who is our refuge in the time of trouble. And so when we go through those hard times of life, we can praise the Lord because the Lord is right there with us. And He doesn't want us to think that we have to go through the hard times of life alone. No. He wants us to cast all of our cares upon Him. He wants us to rely upon His power, upon His grace to get through those tough times. And so what should we do when we're going through a hard time? And really, there are several answers to that question, what we should do when we're going through a hard time. But really, the natural response for the born-again believer is what? To cry out to the Lord for help. To let Him know what's going on and cry out, I'm not sufficient to take care of this on my own. I can't handle this. Lord, I need Your help. I need You. I trust in You to help me with this. We think of children, little children, whenever they get into a predicament, okay, what do they often do? Okay, if they're really in trouble and they're scared, oftentimes they're going to cry out for mom or for dad. Right? And it should be the same for us as children of God. Whenever we get into a predicament and we don't know where to go, where to turn, what to do? What should we do? We must cry out to God, our Heavenly Father. Cry out for help to the One who is always there. And truly, as we go to the book of Psalms, we're going to look at several passages in the book of Psalms. And that's what the psalmist did so many times, and I'm sure if you've read the Psalms any number of times, you realize the psalmist oftentimes cries out to God, help me! I'm in a time of distress. I'm at the point of death. Deliver me! We go to Psalm 40, first of all, the 40th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. And this is a psalm of David. David testifies here in the first three verses as we read this evening. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. So many times we find David referring to his troubles. You know, I was in a miry pit. And it's not as if he was actually in that miry pit, okay? But figuratively speaking, he was in a tough situation. It wasn't any fun for him. He really was struggling here. And he cried out to the Lord out of that miry clay. And what did the Lord do? He set His feet upon a rock, something that is so firm. The Lord is so good. Let's go to Psalm 116. And we could really spend all evening on some of these passages, but we want to get a broad view here this evening. What to do when we're in those hard times of life? So many scriptures to go to comfort us. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 6. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. And here we don't know exactly what the psalmist is going through, but we know it was serious, because how does he describe it here? He describes it in verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And so the psalmist, of his own power, he couldn't do anything. He was helpless. And so he had no other option than to go to the Lord, cry out to Him, help Him. What does he say? I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I implore You, I beg Me, deliver my soul. What a great thing. God is always there to listen to our cries. The Lord heard His cry. He delivered him. The Lord is so faithful. He wants us to come to Him all the time whenever we have those trials, when we have those hard times in life. The psalmist testifies here, because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. I hope that's your testimony this evening as well. I love the Lord because of who He is. And I'm going to call upon Him as long as I live. We serve a gracious and a merciful God. We're going to go to one more psalm. We could go to so many others. We'll go to Psalm 142 with me. Psalm 142. I want you to notice, first of all, oftentimes it's in small print at the very top of the psalm. It says, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. This is the superscription. This is the context given to the psalm. And if that indeed is the context here, because as we look at those superscriptions, those are not, as far as my understanding, that's not inspired, but yet it is giving background here to the psalm. But here we have, it is a prayer when he was in the cave. Okay, when was David in the cave? When he was running from Saul. Okay, you remember the predicament that David was in. There for a while, David was in company with Saul. Okay, even though times weren't the best. You remember when David was with Saul, and Saul was having a rough time. Remember Saul, he had spirit that came upon him and that left. It was really an oppressing spirit. And whenever that spirit came upon Saul, David would play music for him. And that would make Saul feel better. And so this was one of those instances. Saul was having a rough time of it here. And so David was playing music for him. And what does Saul do? What was it going through his mind? Saul hated David. And he thought in his mind, I have a spear here. I'm going to pin David to the wall with the spear. Okay. Now David is able to escape. And Saul throws that spear and drives it right into the wall. There's another time shortly after this. Okay, David's in his house, and Saul sends messengers to keep an eye on things. And David's wife, Michal, says, David, you better escape, otherwise, you know, you're going to get it. Okay, and so David escapes. Michal puts an image in the bed and makes it look as if David is still there in bed, and David escapes. And so David, even before he's outright, you know, fleeing from Saul, you know, he still was having rough times. But there was a time whenever David had to leave Jerusalem, leave his family, leave his wife, leave his good friend Jonathan. And as we trace the narrative, David was fleeing. He didn't have any food right off. He didn't have any weapons. So what does he do? He goes to the priest and he gets some bread. He gets Goliath's sword. You remember that? And then where does he go from there? He goes down into the land of the Philistines, to the city of Gath. And he's there for a while. But then he gets to thinking, wow, do I really want to stay here in Gath? Because the people are saying, well, there's David. You know, remember the saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s? And so what does David do to escape from the king of Gath? He pretends insanity. You know, he starts drooling at the mouth, and so David is able to escape. And it is after this, after he pretends to be insane and escapes from the city of Gath, that David flees to the cave of Adullam. And there's actually two instances where, within a short proximity of time, that David flees to a cave. We aren't going to go there this evening, but in 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5, is this first recorded instance where David is in a cave. And there when he's in the cave, his family comes to him. Others come to him, outcasts of society. And this is really where David gains a sort of army. You know, the outcasts of society come and come to support him. And soon after this, Saul hears of what the priests did there at the city of Nob. And Saul murders those priests. And shortly after this, we find David ending up in the wilderness of En Gedi. And here he was hiding in a cave. And do you remember what happens? Saul is out looking for David, and Saul had to relieve himself. And so what does he do? He goes into a cave. And little did Saul know that David and his men were hiding in that cave. And so David could have killed Saul, but what does he do instead? He just cuts off a corner of Saul's robe. And so it's in this context of David fleeing from Saul. Okay, you can imagine what it's like to be on the run. And not just on the run, but on the run from a king who hates you, who has a military force that far outmatches yours, someone who has ears everywhere, who has eyes looking everywhere, looking for you. And so separated from his wife, his family, from his close friend Jonathan, running from the army of Saul, what does David cry out in Psalm 142? I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then You knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Your name. The righteous shall surround me, for You shall deal bountifully with me. We could go verse by verse through the psalm, and it is incredible. But as you see what Saul or what David is going through here, you can see why he cries out like he does. You know, there's people on the right hand and the left. You know, there's persecutors all around. Refuge has failed me. David didn't have a physical place of refuge to hide in. He had to keep moving from place to place. But yet David could say, even though he didn't have a physical refuge that was safe from the menacing threat of Saul, David could say, God, You are my refuge. You are the one that I trust. You are my source of strength and protection. And so even though David was overwhelmed and plotted against and without human hope in this world, David could still say to God, You are my hope. You are my refuge. I go to You for my strength. And you know what? Even though we may not be chased by an army today, even though we may not have the same situation that David found himself in, we still go through hard times. We can still cry out to God and say, You are my refuge. I trust in You. Help me. And we can praise the Lord whenever He delivers us from those times of difficulty. And so we may think that our situation is just too much for us to handle. And you know what? It would be too much for us to handle if God wasn't on our side, if God didn't give us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to empower us and to encourage us. And we may think, even as I alluded to before, you know, what I'm going through is something that no one else has gone through. You know, we may think I'm in this alone, but that also is a misconception because there have been so many others that have gone through something similar. And you know what? They can be there for you to encourage you and empathize and pray with you. We want to go to the New Testament now, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 through 14. First Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. And here we read Peter saying, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. And then let me read you a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so as believers, we're in this together. It's guaranteed we're going to go through hard times because of our faith. But yet we can be there for one another, and we realize God is always there for us, and truly it is a blessing when we're persecuted for the sake of Christ. But even if we are not experiencing hardship because of our faith, because we are being persecuted outright because of what we believe, we realize all of us experience life in a fallen world, don't we? We all experience that. We experience sickness and death and the loss of possessions. We experience so many other things. We are in this together. We're not in this by ourselves. We aren't alone. We have each other, and obviously we have God above all. All of us struggle with the temptation to sin. And truly, that can be a hardship as well. And we realize there's so many temptations coming at us from the world and from the devil and from the flesh. So many temptations. But what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What does Paul say? God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to handle. He knows what the limit of your strength is. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above and beyond that. And you know what? God is merciful, and He's going to provide a way of escape. But what does Paul say there in this verse? He says, yes, He's provided the way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so God is going to empower us to get through that difficult time, to get through that temptation. He's going to give us a way to bear that temptation, to come out victorious to the praise and honor of God. You know what? We don't have to go through these things alone. The Lord Jesus, He was tempted just as we are. We look at Hebrews chapter 4. The Lord knows what it's like. He's a sympathetic high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. And we read here, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so God is there. He's there to help us during these hardships. He's there to help us during the time of our greatest need. And so we don't want to try to go it alone. We don't want to be independent like that. No, we need to go to Jesus. He's going to help us with grace and mercy and compassion. As we think about hardships, we don't want to give up. We don't want to say, I just can't handle it, I'm going to give up. No, we must continue steadfast. We must keep pressing on. We must rely upon the Lord to help us. We go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23, 24, and 25. And here we're exhorted, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Here the writer of the Hebrews says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You need to continue steadfast through all of life's trials and hardships and tribulations. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important for you to gather together, to encourage one another, to pray together, to help one another through these hardships. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering. God is faithful. We need one another. And obviously we need God above and beyond everything else. We go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And Paul here asks of the Thessalonians in verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." What does it say in verse 3? "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." God is faithful. He will protect you. He will help you get through those difficult times. Go back to 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 5 this time. In verses 6 through 9. Like I said, there's so many passages here, and I hope this is an encouragement. Even when you're going through difficult times, look to the Scriptures. Look to God. Look to one another for a source of encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so you wonder, well, why am I experiencing all these hardships? Well, one of the reasons is because the devil is out there, and the devil does not like Christians who are living for the Lord. And he's like a roaring lion. He's seeking those that he can devour. And so we must not give in to that pressure. We must not give in to the wiles of the devil. Peter says here, resist him. Be steadfast in the faith. Know that your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going through the same thing. You must be sober and be vigilant. Be steadfast in the faith. We go to James chapter 5. James 5 verses 10 and 11. So many times when we're going through those hard times, we're focused upon ourselves when we're thinking, wow, I am in a tough spot. I am going through something that really no one else can identify with. But we must not think that. We are in this together. We are truly co-sufferers as far as hardship is concerned. We go to James 5 verses 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so we must endure through these hardships. The Lord, He's going to see it through the end, to the end. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And so we must expect the hard times to come. We must expect them to really be piled upon us sometimes. And whether it's trials or temptations or whatever the exact nature of the hardship is, we must expect them to come. And we must be prepared for them when they come. And so how are we prepared for them? We must be in fellowship with God. Be on a right relationship with Him. Of course, be a believer, but be in fellowship with Him. Have your sins confessed. Be in a close fellowship with Him. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. So that when the hard time does come, we're ready for it. We're in fellowship with God. God has given to us everything we need to live a life of victory against sin. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, or rather you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And so God has provided us His armor so that we can withstand all of the temptations, all of the trials, the hardships. God has provided us with the answers. But yet there still may be in the back of your mind the question, well, what if I've tried to do everything that I can to deal with this burden, to deal with this hardship? And what if that trial still remains? Okay, even though I've prayed time and time again, begged God to help me with it, but yet it seems as if nothing has changed. I'm still having this hardship in my life. And we ask ourselves, why won't God answer my prayer? Why won't He deliver me from this burden? And we cry out to God, help me. But yet it seems as if things don't change. And you know what? Paul went through an experience just like that. And what does he say in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And here Paul testifies from his own personal life experience. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so we realize in our lives, yes, many times God is going to answer our prayer and take away the hardship. He's going to deliver us from that, and things are going to smooth out a little bit more. But we also have to realize sometimes we cry out to God and we say, deliver me, take me out of this hardship. And you know what? Sometimes God is going to say, I'm going to leave you right where you're at, because I have a reason that is so much higher than what you may be thinking is going on here. We may pray and pray. We may beg God time and time again, take this away from me. But when He doesn't take us out of that situation, it doesn't mean that we're out of fellowship with God. It doesn't necessarily mean that at all. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It just means that God has another plan, a better plan for us. Paul had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know for sure what it is. And Paul, three times, pray to the Lord, take this away from me. He begged the Lord. And you think of saints, you think, well, Paul surely was in fellowship with God. Surely God would answer his prayer. But yet God tells him, what does he say? My grace is sufficient for you. Because when you're weak, then I am strong. And God had a perfect reason for this. He has a perfect plan. And you know what? God wanted Paul to be weak. He had a reason. He didn't want Paul to get a big head. He didn't want him to become proud, because what does Paul say in verse 7? Lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. And so God has a reason why He has us go through those hardships. And sometimes He has a reason why we are stuck in that hardship. He has a perfect plan. We must trust in Him. And so even though we may be in a hardship for a year or two or for who knows how long, we must go to God and say, I trust you. Help me get through this. Help me to bear up underneath this hardship. Help me. And you know what? God is stronger than we are. And when we're in hardships, truly God's power is made manifest through us. And it's not only a testimony to us and the church family, but to the world. God's sustaining power. And so sometimes God doesn't deliver us from that hardship. Sometimes He leaves us right in the thick of it. But yet God doesn't, He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us alone. He gives us the grace to persevere. God is in control. He has that perfect plan. We have read many times in Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And what a blessing that is. And so what do we do in the hard times of life? We cry out to God. We go to the One who is in control, the One who provides all of the answers. We must trust Him. We must give Him the praise whenever He takes us out of the hardship, whenever He smooths things out. We must give Him the thanks and the praise whenever He leaves us right in the thick of it. Because you know what? God gives us grace, superabounding grace, to persevere, to continue in spite of all of it. And so trust in God. He has a perfect plan. And those sufferings and the hardships and the trials, they're all a part of that perfect plan. And ultimately it is for our good that God is having us go through those things. It refines us. It makes us rely more upon God so that we trust Him more and more, so that we grow deeper in our spiritual walk. And so this evening I want you to be encouraged, to take heart, because God cares about you. Just as we sang this evening, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. We must trust in Him. We must love God. We must know that He is in control. He is sovereign. He has a plan for us, a good plan. And so we must trust in Him. Ultimately, things will come out for good, to the praise of God's glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are in control. I thank You that during the tough times of life, we can go to You. We can cry out concerning all of our burdens and leave them at Your throne. And so I do pray that You'd help each one as they are dealing with trials. I pray that they would look to You, and they would also look to one another for encouragement and support. I pray that we would be there for one another as believers to encourage and to help and to pray. And so I do pray that You'd help us to keep on pressing on in the faith, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, unwavering. Help us to trust in You, and I pray that we'd be strengthened in our faith even as we go through the hard times of life. And so we thank You for Your faithfulness. And for Your mercy and compassion, we pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Let's stand and close tonight with 366. 366.
surrendered yourself to God, whether it be the good times of life or the hard times of life, God wants all of you, all of the time. And God is there for you, to help you. But yet we must trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. Don't rely upon your own power. Rely upon God. He is there, He is able, and He is loving, and He has a perfect plan for us. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I hope you have.
Sing the final verse. Oh.
Together as believers here, we just pray these things in the name of Jesus.